The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We're not idiots. Packers CEO Mark Murphy. How do you feel when your team says that? Rodgers and Watson and Stafford and Lamar. QB possibilities with this battle. That should be the name of this show. We're not idiots.
I hope it's implied.
It depends on the day, I think. Oh, today definitely. LeBron in Cleveland, he said he got motivation from seeing a Cavs employee clapping a missed shot he had in the third quarter. And the Lakers come back in the fourth. 46 at 36 years of age, he's the oldest Laker with a 40-point game since Kobe Bryant scored 60 in his career finale. Brett Guysola, how do you view LeBron's night and season so far?
Yeah, and I think that thing at the end of the third quarter, that's a very Michael Jordan kind of way of inventing something to motivate you. He had 21 points in that fourth quarter. You know, we got a chance to see it on Sunday with Tom Brady. We see it on Monday with LeBron James. You know, two great players at an advanced age. And it's not just their athletic ability. It's mentally how they just see the game. They just play at a different level. They understand score, time, game situation. They're so great. And LeBron last night, you watch him out there. He is like a man among boys. He's 36. And right at this moment, runaway MVP of the league.
Runaway MVP. Okay. Joel Embiid was getting some clap this year, but no. Kevin Blackstone, what did you see from LeBron last night?
Well, you can make LeBron the MVP any year. He's that good. But what I saw from him last night was a guy who has just added this other dimension to his game just from his work ethic. 41% from the three-point line now, highest of his career. You saw him stroking those threes. He's got a beautiful, absolutely beautiful shot. And Frank's absolutely right. He is a man among boys. I was watching some games yesterday, and just really it struck me how young the league is right now with so many players who have come out after, you know, 2 years of college out there running around, and you see them playing with LeBron, and he's bigger, he's stronger, and he's clearly smarter. And he doesn't need any motivation.
Everything you say is true, Kevin Blackstone. I'm laughing because you keep on getting older, and the league keeps on staying the same age. I mean, that's what's happening right here. Sarah Spain, what did you see from LeBron last night?
Well, I saw that look, and we need to clip it off because we need to put it right next to Jordan looking at the iPad, and I took that personally. Like, it's very clear that he took that personally. Whether he should or not, whether he should look at a Cavs employee who's encouraging one of the team's, you know, defensive stops as something personal, we could argue that. But if that's what you need this late in your career, showing up every night for regular season games and putting up 40-plus points at 36, use whatever motivation you need. It's remarkable what he's doing.
And Jackie McMahon.
So remember when we said, wow, this is going to be the most challenging NBA season yet for the Lakers and the Miami Heat because they played all the way through the finals and they played all those minutes and they're not going to have any time off. And wait and you see, they're going to rest LeBron and he's not going to play every game and he's not going to need all those minutes. All false. LeBron James knows how to take care of himself better than any athlete on the planet. And remember, he was home. His mother lives there. He grew up there. He won his first championship for Cleveland there. Those things
Frank,
all matter.
Frank, something you want to add?
Yeah, you know, the analytics folks who are the minutes police, they're not going to like this because Jack is 100% right. He's 18 for 18 in games played. Go check out lifetime games.
Hold on
and
a second.
LeBron.
Oh, boy, wait. That is the wagging finger of Sarah Spanier. This can't be good for anybody. Go ahead, Sarah.
I just want to point out that he is playing the fewest minutes of his career on average. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Every game. I don't care. Every game.
Every game. He's out there.
Showed up for every game. Every game.
Yep. A moment now to reflect on the passing of Kobe Bryant and Gigi Bryant. And the tragedy for the Alto Belli, Chester Mauser, Zabayan families 1 year ago today. How incredibly challenging this day must be for all of those families. The care we need in our remembrance right now. Because it was a story unlike any other last year, but it wasn't a story at all. It was life lost and life
having to go forward. When you think about it 1 year later, Jackie, where are your thoughts?
Well, it was just such a horrible tragedy, as you say, not just for the Bryant family, but for all the families involved. And when I don't think what I realized, and I knew Kobe pretty well, and I always thought of him as a singular person because he told me that. He just always said, I started to realize I need to rely on myself. That's how my career is going to go. He was not a guy's guy. He wasn't close friends with a lot of fellow NBA players. But what I realized way too late after he was gone was how many of the young players felt comfortable reaching out to him and how generous he was with his time for all these young NBA players. And of course, we know all about Girl Dad, shout out to our friend Al Duncan, that think about this now. Back in 2012, I was at the 2012 Olympic mm-hmm. Games. I was covering the women's team. Kobe was there for every single game. And Gianna was, I think, six, maybe. So this wasn't something that just happened because Kobe had four girls. He loved the women's game, supported it even back then. And what a legacy he's left behind for the women's game. He was their biggest proponent. And I think there's been some momentum from that. So he left behind a remarkable legacy when you look at it in that regard.
Frank Isola?
Yeah, it's still utter sadness when you think about those young girls that were on that helicopter and the life that they had ahead of them. You know, in December of 2019, Kobe was at Barclays Center in Brooklyn to go watch the Atlanta Hawks play. Gigi was there with him. She wanted to see Trae Young play. And there's that great little exchange that they had on camera of Kobe talking the game of basketball to her and just the way that she looked at him. It was such a beautiful thing to see. And, I remember thinking of that day when it happened. That was the first thing that I thought about, and it's still just incredibly sad to this day, obviously.
Kevin Blackstone?
You know, it's one of those days that you remember where you were. I had taken my daughter and one of her best friends to see a Maryland women's basketball game, and I didn't have my phone in my pocket, and I wasn't alerted to what may have happened until we were walking out the arena and someone pulled me aside. But I'm so glad that you mentioned the other families because, you know, we think about this as Kobe Bryant's day of demise, but there was also his daughter and there were also seven other people whose families had to grieve their loss. And I'm sure today, you know, are grieving the gap that they've lost in their lives. And sometimes we let celebrity get in the way of everything. And I hope today is not one of those days.
I appreciate you saying that, Kevin, because it's not just the loss of what was, it's the loss of what would be. And there is trauma in that, of course, for all of us, but for those families of every young human and everyone on that helicopter, those lights that will never shine on this planet. And Sarah Spain?
Yeah, I was going to say the reactions of those left behind, his former teammates and people in the basketball world, are very telling because it reminds us of how sudden it was. When we lose other legends and they've lived a full life, there's sadness there, but there isn't the incomplete story. And that's what we think so much about when it comes to Gianna and when it comes to Kobe, too. That felt like there was so much less for him to do as a coach and as a dad in his years after basketball, as an artist, as a storyteller. And even though some consider the incident in Colorado an inconvenient speed bump in the telling of his legacy, there was a finality to that story as well that perhaps could have been concluded in a different way by Kobe or by the woman. And I think that, you know, there was an opportunity for him to grow as a human being every single day. It was something he said he wanted, and that was cut short in every aspect of his life.
I appreciate you saying that as well, Sarah. Kobe not being afforded the opportunity to act on, and he talked about this as he retired and later on in his life, both the devil and angel in all of us. Because acting on our better angels is part of this for me. All of life, acting on your better angels is part of it for me. It's always about our mourning, our grief, to recognize that that has to be part of our life, to learn how we can allow grief and mourning in our life, to give it voice, and then let our better angels carry it and carry ourselves, and sometimes carry it to other people. Kobe Bryant's life and death connected so many. We could all feel we lost part of ourselves, the player we grew up with. You know, we all shared moments with our siblings, our parents, our friends, watching Kobe do what he did. How it was okay to feel sad for someone we didn't know and feel conflicted about a flawed life. Because this was a realization that that is life, and we are all better with our emotions opening it. At times, it can feel like death is all around us. This past year especially, right?
And that's because it is. We can't run from that. We can't let that free our emotions. We have to let our emotions live inside of us, because moments like this, we have to know the person right over there, they might be feeling lost too. But we have everything we need to deal with that. We have each other. The root of the word compassion, to suffer with. We all suffer with all the families in that tragedy today. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
I'm told they're not programs, they're shows. So today on a radio show hosted by Pat McAfee, Aaron Rodgers, quote, "I don't think that there's any reason that I wouldn't be back, but there's not many absolutes in this business, okay?" He said his comments Sunday was a real answer in the moment situation. Packers CEO Mark Murphy, "We're not idiots," quote unquote. Aaron Rodgers will be back. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk today, wrote that per league source, Rodgers might want a new contract. His current has 3 years left, but he's fifth in average salary in the league among quarterbacks. Sarah Spain, I want you to get in Aaron Rodgers' head here for a second and use your recollection of Brady in New England just last year. How that played out. What do you think Rodgers is thinking right now?
I think two things. One, look at what happened when a guy nearing the end of his career went somewhere that was committed to winning in a short window. They passed us by and they're in the Super Bowl. Is this team in Green Bay willing to invest in right now to give me a shot before I'm done, or do I need to go elsewhere for that? And two, contract situation, I'm going to find out that answer real quick by asking about it now that I'm out of guaranteed money and they only owe me for a certain number of years.
Blackstone?
Why would you not give him another contract? I mean, he's not the guy that fumbled coming out of the second half. He's not the guy who decided to not go for it on fourth down when the game was on the line. He's not the guy who called a ridiculous defense at the end of the first half and allowed a cornerback to get run by some guy we hadn't even heard of. Come on, Aaron Rodgers deserves
better. You've got heat on the Packers. I respect that, Kevin Blackstone. The idea that Rodgers could be thinking, you know what, I don't want to be here. And do you put any stock in that?
No, I think he stays.
Frank, I so loud by you.
Yeah, I agree. He wants to be there. Kevin conveniently failed to mention Aaron Rodgers on first down, second down, and third down, his final three plays of the season, which were incomplete passes. And
you've got heat on Rodgers.
Maybe not to the first, second, or third yard line. In the moment of truth, Tom Brady led his team down the field, got a field goal, got first downs. In the moment of truth, Aaron Rodgers threw the ball into the ground. Yes, they should have gone for it on fourth down, but he did not play well in those final three plays.
Okay, and Jackie Mack, how about you?
I'm staying out of whatever's going down there below me, okay? All I'm going to tell you, I want no part of that. Aaron Rodgers is going to be the MVP this year. He had a great year. If I were him, I would get some more money, and I'd get it right away. And if you're the Green Bay Packers, you should pay him. But what I'm going to be watching very closely, Tony, is how many years are you going to get him, and how much of that money is guaranteed? Once we learn that, I think we'll have a much better idea of how the Green Bay Packers view Aaron Rodgers' future. The same thing happened with Tom Brady in New England. It was another year, single years. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to go for that, and I wouldn't either if I were him.
Another quarterback story, Deshaun Watson, reported wish list, according to Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald. Number one, the New York Jets. Number two, the Miami Dolphins. Kevin Blackstone. How do you think Watson is considering this, and how much control do you think he actually has right now over where he'll go?
Yeah, well, the control is one thing, but, you know, if you read the stories about his concerns as to how Houston handled diversity issues in their front office, and you realize the coaches who are in New York with the Jets and in Miami, then maybe he's trying to make a statement. He wants an opportunity to play for a diverse coaching staff. And you know what? In a league that is 70% black, and with the concerns we have right now about how many coaches of color are getting an opportunity to be head coaches, maybe more players ought to think about this to really put the league and the owners nose to the grindstone when it comes to hiring.
Right, guys, Sola?
Well, if I'm the Jets and they have the assets and they have the cap space, to me, you have to pursue a quarterback like Deshaun Watson. I believe that he can win a Super Bowl. But can he take just a little responsibility for 4-12? Just a little bit. All you look at these great quarterbacks, Woo! Tom Brady, Russell Wilson. Woo! These guys were not 4-12 in their fourth year in the NFL. I'm not saying it's all his fault, but can he just take a little responsibility?
You have never met a quarterback you can't blame. Can you just, for our benefit here, Frank, tell us who was the number one rated passer in the NFL this year? And who was the number two rated passer in the NFL this year? Can you give us those names?
Who went 4-12?
Aaron Rodgers, who you ripped last segment, and Deshaun Watson.
Wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat.
Jackie McMullen, how about you?
Frank, RIP, my friend. I think what's the deal with Deshaun Watson to me is if he wants to go to the Jets, are you crazy? Frank's right about that. The Jets have got to go do it, and you got to get him. Here's the great thing if that happens, if you're the Jets. Then you don't have to use your top pick on a quarterback, and you can draft Devontae Smith or maybe Jalen Waddle or some great receiver to help Deshaun Watson turn it around in New York. They have 9 picks, Tony, in the 2021 draft, and another 9.
So you believe the Jets are an attractive destination. I guess that's what I'm getting at here, Sarah. Are the Jets and the Dolphins?
They live next to me.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets have the most draft picks over the next 2 years, and they have a lot of cap space, and both of these teams have people of color as their head coach, which obviously seems like something that he might be prioritizing. But the other question you asked might be the better one. How much control does he have over this? And the answer is probably none at all. The team is already losing a franchise quarterback at the age of 25. Do they want to go give him to someone in their own conference? Do they want to send him somewhere where he's going to succeed? They don't care.
He does have a no-trade clause, though. All right, one more QB story to talk about here. The Baltimore Ravens saying Lamar Jackson deserves a new contract. He's still on his rookie deal, so he's 25th in the league in base salary. Players want to play with him. I laugh at the idea they don't, GM Eric DaCosta said, kind of unprompted. And he's talking about bringing in a number one receiver. Frank, are the Ravens a number one receiver away from getting over the hump? And how are you going to rip this quarterback? Go ahead, please.
Well, they were the worst passing team in the league.
Oh, here we go.
Been there since Al Bowler was the quarterback in 2002. Nevertheless, I like Lamar Jackson. I think he threw one bad pass, which cost him a game against Buffalo. I'm not buying this idea. They need a number one receiver. But Hollywood Brown, remember, he did complain during the season. I think we run the ball more than pass. Lamar Jackson will be fine. His accuracy needs to get better. But I'm not into this. We need to get a wide receiver. I don't believe it.
Well, Lamar's got to get better, and
who's still learning and growing. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry.
Right, Jack.
I thought it was my turn.
It is.
He's a young quarterback who's growing and learning, and so get him a number one receiver. Frank, why not? How could it possibly hurt? Go out and get him some more weapons, and the more diverse you can be, the better. And Lamar Jackson absolutely needs to get paid, and he's going to be there for a while.
Harris Payne?
Yeah.
Yeah, 32nd in passing yards. Their receivers got fewer receptions than anyone in the league. It can't hurt. Do I think that would make them better than the Chiefs? No. So they're not one wide receiver away, but it absolutely will help.
Kevin Blackstone.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And Lamar's got to get better, and he has gotten better since we first saw him play in this league. But, you know, he runs for 1,000 yards. He runs into the end zone a number of times. He's a real threat with his legs. Could he use another receiver? Absolutely. To go along with a tight end that he has who's very productive and a solid running game will make them better. That's what they do.
The free agent market for receivers? Yes. All right. There's no DeAndre Hopkins that's on the
Great.
I mean, how many times do you want to make that deal from 2 years ago? How many quarterbacks are the quarterbacks of their team right now in the NFL? I mean, it's 10?
Patrick Mahomes.
The entire NFC East. We don't know if those quarterbacks are starting this year. Oh, come back to us, Kevin Blackstone. My bad. Sarah Spade, Frank Isola are taking a seat right here. Kevin, back.
I had a great
Jackie McMullen. For you, Frank, you had a great show. Jackie, Kevin, showdown next.
Yeah. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Baseball Hall of Fame announcement, T-minus 45 minutes. Ryan Thibodeau, Hall of Fame tracker, reporting he believes zero players will get in. Clemens, Schilling, Bonds, Omar Vizquel, Scott Rolen, nobody, Squadouche, a museum with no history to add this year. Kevin Blackstone, would that be a satisfactory result? And what does it tell you?
Well, I'd be fine with it. I mean, 538, they also predicted the same sort of thing. You know what? Not every category in the Pulitzer Prize gets awarded every year. So if no one gets in this year, I'm fine with that. This harkens back to 2013 when these guys were first on the ballot and they are still fighting to get over their histories.
I just think it's a bad look for Cooperstown, a bad look for baseball. You've got to figure out what you're going to do with all these players with the black marks on them. Schilling, I don't understand quite as much as some of the steroid guys. I know he only has 216 career wins. That's low for a Hall of Famer. 11-2 in the postseason, 3 World Series. Clutch performer. At least put him in.
Kevin, you don't think baseball has a problem here? Where they have generations of players, and they're not sure if we should account for on-field, off-field, on-field. They're making judgments when the entire history of the game, you know this better than me, segregated, lily-white players played the first half of the last century. You can't have a Hall of Fame museum without Barry Bonds and Roger.
Put it on the plaque.
Put it on the plaque, exactly. That's what you should have said the first time. We'll move on. Showdown 2, the most personal of personal fouls. ESPN Tim McMahon called it. Jamal Murray to Tim Hardaway. This was an ejection. What did you see, Jackie?
Yeah, I think Jamal Murray's having a frustrating season. All his numbers are down from that amazing bubble performance he had against Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz. And I know people are like, well, what's wrong with him? He was dinged up in the bubble. He didn't have enough time to recover. I'm bullish on Jamal Murray. I still think he's a really great player. Just relax.
I want to see him explode. I mean, he did drop half a hundred on people twice in the postseason, put on spectacular shooting performances. Just reminds you how great LeBron James is, that at his age, he can still
soldier
through all.
That's absolutely always true. Would you say you were bullish on Jamal Murray? That video we showed wasn't bullish. There was another letter instead of the U in bullish, right? Ball night, Jackie McMullen. 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Quick Kobe story. He actually texted me one Thanksgiving a year or two after the Colorado case, making amends, and he was wishing me a happy Thanksgiving. Now, I was new to texting, really wasn't feeling confident. My 12-year-old said, give me that phone. She started texting with Kobe. Talk about a dream come true for any young ball player, which she was. But about halfway through, Kobe finally texted and said, Jackie, there's no way this is you. You could never put anything past Kobe Bryant, let me just tell you.
Because your daughter had some emojis on there, I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it for today. 23 and a half hour break. See you tomorrow around the horn.